if any of them are still here. How you doing today? Amen. Let's get our Bibles out. John chapter 10. Making our way through John, amen. John chapter 10. We're going to cover 10 verses in John today, and then Brother Charles is going to give a presentation. He's headed back to the Gambia, so kind of going to check in on what Jesus is doing in John, and then we're going to focus on missions a little bit. So let's thank God for the word, and I'm going to jump in and read you the verse 10 verses of John 10. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can come into your house and worship you. Lord, that you love us and you're for us. And Father, as we sung all those songs today, help us to believe what we're singing, Lord God, that your favor is upon us and you're gracious and you love us and you're with us, Lord God. I just pray that you would convince each heart here of that you are our source and our supply of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord God. And so, Father, unlock the word to us today. Father, stretch us and challenge us and bless us, and then help us to focus on what's on your heart, and that's missions, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, Jesus speaking, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what the things which he was saying to them meant. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they would have life and have it abundantly.'" Let's stop right there and just take those 10 verses and unpack them. In chapter 10 here, we're going to see Jesus speaking what we just covered, which is called the parable of the good shepherd. He's going to deliver that. He's going to explain it, and he's going to give us the implications of what he means by that. He's also going to make two more I am statements. Remember, we said when Jesus said I am, he was basically saying I'm God. Why? Because the only one who ever called himself I am was God. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Tell him that I am sent you. Our God is I am. He revealed himself to the Hebrews like that before he led them out of bondage. And Jesus comes saying I am. And he's going to say in this text here, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. So two more I ams. Lastly, he'll spar again with the religious crowd. He's going to reveal his deity to them in the back half of chapter 10, and they're going to get so happy that Jesus is the Messiah and he's with them, they're going to pick up stones to stone him. It's going to be great. We're going to have fun. So let's look at the verse 10 verses here. The Lord says some pretty obscure things to his disciples. I'm sure sometimes when he was talking and he's speaking to them, they're just enamored with his voice and what he's saying, but they're not understanding the implications of what he's saying. Have you ever spoken to people who you knew they weren't getting it? I'm feeling that right now. No, I'm just kidding. No, sometimes you're just talking to people and they're just like, they're not, and you just know you're not connecting. You ever try to talk to somebody and you just, you know, you cut each other off, they don't have good start and flow, that you can't have a back and forth. Come on, any married people here? Monologues, your spouse delivers a monologue, you're trying to jump in. Too close to home, some people look scared. So they're not picking up what he's saying here. He says, truly, truly. Remember when Jesus says that, he's essentially saying, pay attention. Truly, truly, this is important. Anytime something's mentioned twice in Scripture, it's for, you know, it's to say this is important. Listen up. In Scripture, when things are said three times, like when it talks about the Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, for emphasis there. So Jesus is not stuttering. He's not running out of words. Truly, truly, he means pay attention. This is important. Here's what's important. The one who does not enter by the door, say door, into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. This is all about genuine spiritual connection to God. He's saying there's a way to come to the Lord. Now, the world doesn't like this. The flesh doesn't like this. Why? Because everybody says, well, I'll come to God my own way, do my own thing, and I'll be spiritual the way I want to be spiritual, and I'll approach God the way I want to approach God. And that's arrogance and it's hubris. Why? Because he's a holy God, and we're sinful people, and there is a way to approach a holy God. In the Old Testament, if they didn't approach God or the presence of God or the ark of God correctly, they would fall down dead. If the high priest, who is the holiest priest of all, if he didn't wash himself and prepare himself and adorn himself the way he was supposed to when he walked into the Holy of Holies, he would be struck dead. They actually put a rope on his foot and bells on his feet, so if the bells stopped ringing, they could pull him out without going in, because if they went in... Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Amen. So there is a way to approach God. Cain and Abel. Abel offered God the sacrifice he required. Cain gave him whatever he felt like giving him. Cain said, take it or leave it. God said, I leave it. I am the door. Powerful statement here. Genuine spiritual connection to God. There are multitudes of people who claim to know God, who say they're Christians, who even go to church weekly, all the holidays, maybe even carry a Bible, know all the right words to say, but they're not really connected to God. It is very possible to be religious and lost. Some of us were religious and lost. We named the denomination we were part of. We said that we were Christians, but we didn't know Jesus. And we know the difference that when we come to him and we're born again and we're forgiven and we're made part of the family of God, the lights go on and something changes in us that nobody can tell us any different. When we know him through genuine relationship, when we have a legitimate, authentic connection to him, then we've entered in the right way. This is all about being connected to God properly. Jesus said some things to a generation that throughout the generations, it echoes down. Now, any of us who read Matthew 7, 21 through 23, know that if we're humble enough and we're honest enough, that this should send shivers down our spine. But Jesus said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who says they're a Christian, not everyone who knows the scripture, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, did you hear that? Many, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? So they did religious things. They even did spiritual things. How many think, you know, casting out demons, high level spiritual, right? And then I will declare to them, Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. What was the problem? They had the name. They had the reputation. They knew the theology. They even did good works. But yet they didn't have an authentic connection to him. And he has to say to them, instead of well done, good and faithful servant, depart from me. I never knew you. If we're honest here, that sends a shiver down our spine. Why? Because we need to make sure we are properly connected to him, that we've come in the right way, bringing the right sacrifices, receiving the things of the cross as they were offered to us. Jesus mentions the word door. To get into this building, you came through a few doors. And so we understand what doors do. They divide rooms. They give order and structure within structures. Jesus mentions the word door, being the proper way to enter the sheepfold. Now, realize what he's talking about here. It's a parable, and he's speaking in a way that's, you know, allegorically and things, and he's trying to get us to understand this imagery. They understood sheep. They understood shepherds. They understood sheep pens. That's basically what's being spoken about here. The sheep at night were all brought in into a pen. They're penned up. You would have sheep from different shepherds in the pen. They're penned up. The doors closed. Why? Because there's wolves out there. There's bears out there. There's lions out there that eat sheep. The only thing that's more delicious than sheep is chicken. Everybody likes chicken. Everything eats chicken. I have chickens. Everything's trying to eat my chickens. Coyotes and foxes and raccoons. I had a hawk dive on my chicken out there. And I'm like, what in the world? You know what? Sheep need to be protected. That's why they're brought into the sheep pen. If you're a sheep and you're not in the sheep pen and you're wandering out there, you're susceptible to the wolves. You're susceptible to the enemy. So the sheep are in the pen. The pen is locked and it's guarded. And this is what the imagery here is, that the Lord is showing us there's a door, there's a proper way to enter. And listen, when there's a door, now this is not a trick question, so just call it out when you know it. How do you get through a door? This is a smart group. First service didn't do too good. All right, knock it down. We had some people from the city here like, kick it open. No. If you have a key, you have right of access. You put the key in the door, you unlock the door, and you go in through the door. That's the right access. You know, if you came here today, you drove, you used your key, gave you right of access to your car. When you go home, you're going to put your key in the door, you're going to go back into your home. The proper way to enter the door is with a key, and that gives you what? Rightful access. If you own the place, if it's your home, if it's your house, you go in through the door. I've never come home one time and thought, you know what, let me climb on the roof and come in through the chimney. You know, I'll just pop out of the fireplace and surprise my wife. You know, Kim has never come home from work one time and come in through the basement window. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? Here she comes. Oh, she just fell on the boiler. That's not good. So, no, we go through the door. Why? Because it's our house. We have rightful access. So we're talking about rightful access here, you know, and we're talking about being coming in the proper way, the proper channels. People who go into a place any other way other than the door, one of two things are true. Either they lost their key. How many's ever done that? Yeah. I remember being young, being out on my own apartment, lost my key. I'm standing in front of the door. Uh-oh, now what? I paid for it. I paid a month's rent, but I'm on the outside looking in. So if you lose your key, you lose your access. Well, that'll preach right there. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But one of two things. You either lost your key, and now you've lost your access, or the fact that you don't belong there. If you don't belong there, you come in through the window. If you don't belong there, you come in through the basement. If you don't belong there, you come in some other way. And that's the point that Jesus is making. The way to come into the kingdom of God, the sheep pen, is through Jesus. It's through the door. Now, the parable speaks both of a door, which we covered, and a doorkeeper. The doorkeeper authenticates the shepherd and lets him through the door so he can have access to the sheep. Speaking of the Holy Spirit here, we're getting a picture of the Trinity. We're talking about being connected to the Father. We're getting the shepherd, the Son, who brings us in. We got the doorkeeper, the Holy Spirit, who allows us access to the kingdom of God. Come on, how many people are tracking with this parable now? Amen. The disciples weren't getting it, but Full Gospel Center's getting it this morning. Amen. And that's the picture we have here. I love what it says in verses 2 through 4. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to highlight something in verse 4. But the one who enters by the door, that's Jesus, is the shepherd of the sheep, that's Jesus. To him the doorkeeper, the Holy Spirit, opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep, that's us, by name, and leads them out. See, I want you to see something about this shepherd. He doesn't get in the pen and start driving the sheep out and kicking them out into the pasture. What does it say? He leads them out. And that's what I want you to see today is, as people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ, we're not driven. We're not cattle. We're not cows. We don't need to be driven and whipped and pushed. No, we're sheep. Sheep are led. Amen. And Jesus leads us. Where does he lead us? From the rear? No, from the front. I want you to see that. Jesus is out in front leading the church. Amen. I'm not leading the church. You're not leading the church. The world's not leading the church. The 501c doesn't lead the church. No, Jesus leads the church. He's the door. He's the shepherd. He calls to his sheep. And then he leads them out. One thing I want you to see about this is Jesus leads them out. All good leaders lead from the front. Do you know the casualty rate of Israeli generals is twice that of any other army? Do you know why? Because Israeli generals lead from the front. If there's a tank charge, if there's an infantry, if there's whatever it is, they lead from the front. Why? To inspire their men, to sacrifice, to lead, to encourage. And that's what Jesus does. We don't have a leader that leads from behind who cowers in the command center, who sits up in heaven and goes, oh, I hope it works out. No, he's out in front. And Jesus leads from the front because he is the prototype of what we're supposed to be. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? The Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead of many brethren. He's the prototype of what it means to become a Christian and to live in a fallen world as a child of God. You see, they crucified him and they laid him in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. Amen. We identify with him in death, burial, and in the baptism, and that death, burial, and resurrection. When we come out in newness of life and resurrection power, we are identifying with Christ. He led us. Who is the first one to come, overcome sin, raise up, and go back to the Father? Jesus. And you know what? You and I who follow him will do the same exact thing. He's the firstborn of many brethren, the prototype who leads from the front, who leads us, his people, the sheep of God's kingdom. Such a powerful illustration here. Now, there again, for them, they weren't understanding all this. The cross hasn't happened yet. He hasn't been crucified. He hasn't risen again. But they would understand this. And thank God we get to understand all of this today. The shepherd calls in. He goes into the sheep pen, the kingdom. He calls out his sheep. He leads them as a prototype. They follow him. And you know what? Why do they follow him? Well, the scripture tells us they follow him because they know his voice. This is very important here. If you, the people you know very well, you recognize their voice. If you know someone intimately, I can pick my voice. I can pick my wife's voice out of a crowd. I can hear her. I can hear my son's voice. I can hear my son's if I hear them in a crowd. I know their voice. I know my parents' voice. I know my father's voice. When you know someone intimately, you know their voice. Have you ever heard a voice that goes, who's that? I've been in my office before, and somebody stops by Fred's office, and I hear them yakking, bah, 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 and I'm like, I don't recognize that voice. So I get my 12-gauge. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, who's that? You know, if you don't recognize someone's voice right away, you're like, I don't know who that is. Have you ever heard somebody's voice and you weren't quite sure who it was and you went out there and you're like, oh, I know them. You know, maybe just an acquaintance, just you don't know them that well enough to discern their voice. This is a picture of us being intimate with the Lord, being intimate with the Father, that we know him well enough to discern his voice. And the sheep had that going for them that, you know, they knew the voice of their shepherd. He could go into the pen. There could be 10 different flocks within the pen. But when that shepherd said, let's go, the sheep would follow him. Now, verses 4 and 5 show that there's two distinct voices that every Christian needs to identify. Of all the voices you need to know, these are the two. Listen to verse 4 and 5. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them. Thank you, Jesus. Lead by example. And then the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So the first voice is his voice, the shepherd's voice, the voice of Jesus. Listen to 5. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So every one of us has to know and be able to discern two different voices. The voice of the shepherd and what? Other voices. The voice of strangers. Those Christians who can't tell the difference between the voice of God and the other voices are going to be deceived and confused and create a lot of drama in their own lives. You know what? If we're going to be honest here this morning, there's times all of us thought we heard from God and heard the voice of God and knew the will of God, and it wasn't. I'll be the first one to admit it. I remember as a young man, as a young Christian, I thought I heard God speak to me. I thought I heard God tell me to do something, only to do it and watch it implode and it become a disaster and everything go wrong. And then to stand on the other side going, that wasn't God. Get involved with this. Get involved. Well, maybe it's a relationship, a dating. Oh, this is the one. How many of us, this is the one. That wasn't the one. That was the one. Amen. There was other ones before the one, and they weren't the one. But sometimes, man, we're like, oh, I know it's God. I hear. It's not God. It's our emotions. It's what we want. It's our flesh. And we think, oh, I heard God. That's a humbling thing. I remember as a young, and there's times where, you know, still I get fooled. Still you get fooled. And we think, this has got to be God. And God's going, I feel the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, we need to know the voice of the shepherd. We have to discern between the voice of Jesus, the voice of God, and the voice of strangers. Our enemy is subtle, he's sneaky, he's cunning, and to some degree, he's tricked all of us at certain times. I admit it, you admit it. We need to become more familiar with the voice of God. You say, Pastor, how do we become more familiar, more sensitive, more in tune to the voice of God? We spend time alone in his presence. Look, if you're not spending time alone with Jesus every day, if you're not reading scripture, if you're not praying, if you're not worshiping before the Lord every day, if you're not spending time at the feet of Jesus, listening to him speak to your soul through the word of God in your quiet time, you're not tuned in enough to discern his voice from false voices. Because you know what? The enemy can try to sound a lot like Jesus sometimes. So spend time with him, spend time in his presence, read his word. His voice is important. We need to become very familiar with it so we can discern it from the strange voices. Our enemy is sneaky, he's crafty, and you know what? When he's telling us the things we want to hear, it's hard to not think that must be God. So verse 5 shows that the spiritually mature Christian who becomes familiar and sensitive to the voice of the shepherd will follow the shepherd, but he'll flee from other voices. And I want you to pick up on that here today. However, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, listen to me. A lot of times we entertain voices and people and things that we shouldn't entertain because we know that they're not from God, yet we somehow allow them to have access to us and speak to us. We spend time with them, more time. Listen, if we have ungodly people around us, if we have people who are not serving Jesus, if we have friends who are doing all the wrong things at all the right times, hello? If we got people like that, we're spending more time with them than we are with Jesus. Whose voice do you think we're going to become more familiar with? So, it says here that they didn't just, you know, follow the voice of the shepherd, but when they heard a strange voice, they're like, whoa, who's that? And they would flee from it. What are they fleeing from? A strange voice. And they're trying to find the shepherd's voice. You and I need to flee from certain things, certain places, certain people. Come on, church. Come on, wake up today. There's certain things we've got to cut off. There's certain channels we got to turn off. There's certain places we shouldn't go anymore. Why? Because we're entertaining strange voices. And if we listen to them long enough, they'll become familiar enough to us that we just may do what they say. Fleeing from seductive doctrines, from sinful practices, from manipulative people is not weakness, it's wisdom. Oh, well, I should be able to stand up. I should be able to around it. I should be able to deal with it. I know, you know, I'm this and I'm that, and they ain't going to influence me. You're lying to yourself. Fleeing from all the wrong people, all the wrong places is not weakness. It's not because you're not a strong Christian. It's not weakness. It's wisdom. You and I need to exercise some wisdom in our lives. Why do I always have trouble? Why do I always have drama? Why does everything go wrong for me? Shut off the strange voices. Spend time with Jesus. Get acquainted with the shepherd and allow his favor to rest over your life. Once you and I learn to refuse to entertain anyone or anything that pushes us away from God, we've insulated ourselves from control and manipulation. The enemy wants to control you. What did God say to Cain? Sin crouches at your door. It wants to control you, but you must master it. So, verse 6, Jesus continues here. Once you and I learn to discern the voices like we should, at least know the Lord's voice, hear what he says, and follow after him, we've insulated ourselves. We've made ourselves bulletproof. Verse 6. Jesus acknowledges something in this verse here that every teacher, every preacher, every parent needs to admit once in a while. Listen to verse 6. Jesus told them this figure of speech. So, hey, guys, this parable, I'm giving it to you. I'm hoping you're getting all the imagery in there. He told them this figure of speech, but they did not understand the things which he was saying to them meant. So he articulates this beautiful parable. They get the idea about the sheep and the shepherds and the sheep gate. They live in an agricultural society. They know all about sheep. They know all about shepherds. So they get that, but they don't understand the deeper meaning. Are you catching verse 6? And I want to encourage you today, as Christians, we've got to get past the superficiality of spiritual life. We've got to get past the, I'm a Christian and I come to church and we sing a few songs and then some guy gets up there and he blathers on for a while about the Bible and then, and then we talk to each other and then we go to the diner. That it's got to be more than that. Some people are happy with that. Oh, it's quiet this morning. But there's more. There's deeper water, amen. There's more. God has more for you. He wants relationship with you, amen. He wants to connect with you. He wants to sit with you. He's knocking on the door. He wants to come in and sup with you, amen, so that you can have intimacy with him. Don't settle for a disconnected, superficial relationship with him. When he's calling for you, he yearns for you. He wants you. Oh, I wish somebody get excited about that. Amen. Jesus knew he lost them. He's like, man, this is a good parable, man. I was doing good, and they don't get what I'm saying here. So he says, but they did not understand, and he admits that, what things which he was saying to them meant. So what does he do? In verse 7 and 8, he clarifies for them. He makes it crystal clear. When he would share parables, the multitudes would hear it, and they wouldn't always get what he was saying. But what he would do is he'd take his disciples aside to him later on, and he'd explain it to them. You realize this happens all through the Gospels, right? He's like, all right, guys, I noticed, let's go get something to eat. And they're like, Jesus, what did you mean by that? And then he sits there and he breaks it all down. What you say, what's that? That's the rite of discipleship. You see, because you're one of his own, he will illuminate and explain things to you in a way you can understand. You say, how does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through times in prayer, he speaks to your heart. So if you don't understand, if you're not getting it, if you're not blessed, ask him, Lord, what's going on? Why? And let him speak and listen and then do what he says. So he knew he lost them. They didn't understand. So in verse 7 and 8, he makes his point crystal clear. It doesn't get any clearer than this. Jesus told them a figure of speech, but they did not understand. So listen to verse 7, crystal clear. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, listen up. This is important. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So Jesus makes an I am statement. What is he saying? I am God, and I am the door to the sheep pen. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of God. Amen. How do you and I become Christians? Well, we join a church, and we give money, and we participate in the programs. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The only way you and I become Christians is we come through Jesus, the good shepherd, and he brings us into the sheepfold, the kingdom of God, and we become part of God's family and one of his very own children. Amen. So understand, he says, plain as day, I am the door. And when he says, I am, boom, they're feeling it. I'm telling you what, because why? God with us, Emmanuel, the Messiah is here. And I'm the way to be authentically connected to the Father and be part of the kingdom of God. So powerful what Jesus says. In verse 8, he talks about thieves and robbers. What's he talking about, thieves and robbers? Who are these people that, you know, don't go in through the door, who don't have proper access, who come in other ways? Well, there's lots of people out there who say, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm spiritual, or I'm connected to God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't need the church, but, you know, I'm spiritual. Listen, you're a thief and a robber. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you're telling me you came another way because you're spiritual, because you're, you know, because you're one with nature, because you tiptoe through the tulips and hug trees, listen, you're out of your mind and you're disconnected, and you're going to hear him say, I never knew you. Who are the thieves and the robbers? Well, some things that we don't know about the Judaism is that on the way to Jesus, Jesus wasn't the first guy to show up, Alan, and say, I'm the Messiah. There was a lot of false Christs along the way. You can chronicle them through history. They showed up and said, I'm the Messiah. No, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And there were all these guys claiming to be the Messiah, and they weren't. And Jesus is saying, those guys who came before me, thieves and robbers, liars, the sheep didn't follow them. Why? They were strange voices. So in the past, there were false Christs, and in the present, there are false prophets and false Christs and false religions and false doctrines, and they're not the way to connect to the Father either. The world says all roads lead to God. You can come any way, through any religion, through any, and that's a lie from the pit of hell, and there are people who believe, well, you know, I just come this way and that way. There's only one way. There's only one door. There's only one Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Listen, you say, well, I don't like that. Well, listen, too bad. If you're drowning and one boat comes by and you're like, I want a bigger boat. I want a blue boat. I want a sailboat. You're going to drown if you don't get on that boat. Jesus is the boat. He's the ark. He's the only way of escape. All roads don't lead to God. There's lots of cults and false religions and false doctrines out there. They promise freedom and forgiveness and eternal life and one with the universe. And it's all a lie because they're thieves and robbers. There's only one Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's only one empty tomb, and it's Jesus' tomb. There's only one risen one who offers the free gift of eternal life. He is the door into the kingdom of God, period. Verses 9 and 10, Jesus, again speaking this, sums up who Jesus is and who's really behind the voices of the stranger. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. So look at that. Jesus offers what? Salvation. Amen. You know, when I figured out I was a sinner, immediately I knew I needed a Savior. See, that's the problem with a lot of our generation. They don't believe in sin anymore. They don't think they're sinners. And they think, well, I'm a good person. Or, you know, my problem isn't this or that or these things I do that I know I shouldn't do. It's somebody else's fault. It's this fault. It's that fault. I'm not a sinner. The minute you declare yourself that you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. But the minute you know that I'm a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and I'm looking out there, and you guys are too. And you know what? We need a Savior. And so that's the first step there. So I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Thank you, Jesus offers the sinner salvation. I'm in, Lord. I need it. And I will go in and out and find pasture. So he's not only offering salvation, but what? He says, then when you come in, you'll go in and out. I'll lead you. Look at that. The ins and the outs, the days and the nights, the time, the youth, the middle age, the young, the old age, all that stuff. You know, I'll be with you the whole way. So I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you forgiveness of sin. And then I'm going to go in and out with you. And what? You'll find pasture. Do you know what? When we come to Christ, what comes along with the salvation and the membership into God's family and heaven for eternity, you know what else comes with that? Provision. You know what pasture is for sheep? Pasture is everything they need to survive. When sheep see a pasture and they're led over a hill and then into a valley and it's a lush green field with thick, tall grass, man, they get as excited as we do when we pass a buffet on Route 9. That's what that's all about. Sheep see that stuff and they're like, woo! I mean, they're like, bah! And then they turn around and look at the shepherd and they're like, thank you. And then what do? They go eat. And he watches over them. And when they're done, he leads them back and he protects them. So not only salvation, not only forgiveness, not only part of the family of God, but provision in all things. You say, Pastor, I don't know, man, my life's a mess. I have lack. There's no provision. I'm going out of the frying pan and into the fire. There's always problems. Grab a hold of this shepherd. Get away from the strange voices. Get close to him, learn to hear his voice, and then just follow him. You say, what'll happen if I follow him? What if I make him the Lord of my life? What if I drowned out all the other voices and just let him lead me and let him love me? You'll never have lack. You'll have provision in all things. Amen. I love this. Man, I could go on and on here. They need to put a shock collar on me to tell me it's time. So, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, membership into the family of God, heaven as our eternal hope, and then provision in all things. What a beautiful thing. I am the door. Anyone enters through me will be saved, and I will go in and out, and he will find pasture. Listen, for the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Why are you listening to those other voices? They're trying to kill you. They're trying to steal from you, steal your potential, steal your ability, steal your joy, destroy your relationships. That's what the thief does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I came so they might have life and have it abundantly. Verse 10 makes the choice so clear. Let's follow the good shepherd. And let's drown out every other voice that seduces us away from all the blessing that comes from having Jesus as the shepherd of our lives. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ, you've never made him the Lord of your life, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you would be saved. Romans 10:9. It's so easy. We don't have to get a degree. We don't have to be an intellectual giant. We don't have to be theological geniuses. It's very simple. We come to God and we say we recognize Jesus is the Savior. He's the door. We recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So we repent of our sins and we receive Jesus. And what does he do? He gives us the free gift of eternal life. He forgives our sin. He makes us part of the family of God. He promises us heaven as our eternal home, not because we're perfect or good enough or we do everything right from that point forward. No, it's by his grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And if you're here today and you want to say, well, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I want him to be the Lord of my life, I promise you he'll give you a clean slate, a fresh start. He won't reject you. He'll make you one of his own sheep. He will be the door for you into the kingdom of God. How many people here today say, I want to accept Jesus today. I want to receive him as the Lord of my life. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else here today? God bless you, sir. Great decision today. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father in heaven. Anyone else here today? Let's pray a prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you're the door. I'm a sinner, and I receive you as Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. From this moment forward, I belong to you. Lead me as my shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise this morning. Praise God. Amen. You say, could a prayer like that really change anything? Absolutely. It changes everything. You say, what happens when I say publicly, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life? Jesus, the door, grabs a hold of you, makes you one of his very own, puts you in the sheep pen, brings you into the kingdom of God, and makes you a child of God. Listen, life's not going to be easy all the time. You're not going to be perfect. Don't go home and go, well, I sinned this week, so I must have not got it. I need to raise my hand next week. No, you got it. If you are sincere, we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to be in process, and he's going to work in us. Amen. So one time, let's give God a hand clap of praise today. Amen. This morning, we're going to have Brother Charles come, and he's going to share a little bit about the Gambia. The ushers are passing out some cards today. We're going to have an opportunity to pray and support missions. Realize God loves missions. God loves the lost. Amen. It's more than just us being comfortable in our little place here at Full Gospel Center. God wants us to reach out to the lost. Brother Charles is doing that. Come and share with us today.
Thank you, Jesus. Good morning. Giving honor to God and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Pastor Rick, Sister Kim, Pastor Mike, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, many of you may not know, but we have a missionary ministry here that goes out to the Gambia. And the reason why many of you may not know that is because you have just joined, or you haven't been coming, one or the other. But we do have a missionary ministry, and it's called Jafunga Missionary Outreach. In obedience to the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that, in our case, it is the Gambia, West Africa. Let's go to the videotape.
Okay, I'm with my friend, Fadil Cisse. We've been friends since, I think, 2011, introduced by Pastor Forbes. And we've been helping him off and on the Jafunga Missionary Outreach for years. Now, I want him to tell you what he does here and what's the benefit to the Christian community.
Thank you very much, Bro Charles. I'm so happy to have you. We are grateful to God Almighty and many people, such as you yourself. This is a center where we train missionaries, but our main focus is persecuted believers. So these rooms and these buildings you see, we have people sometimes who are persecuted and the community will not welcome them and their families send them away. We bring them in here and then some stay for some months, some can go for more than 1 year or about 2 years maximum. And we are grateful seeing what the Lord is doing. Even today, we receive one young man whose wife has a baby. They are all from Muslim background, the same tribe with me. And right now, he's being chased out, and his baby and the wife are collected. So we finished a meeting. I finished meeting with him about 40 minutes ago before he arrived here. So it's a safe house for people who are going under persecution from Islam, and even some people are persecuted from animistic background. Amen. As well.
So animalistic?
Animistic background.
Explain that.
These are people who believe in idol worshiping, oil libations, and they are not necessarily Muslims, but they believe so much in their culture that they don't want their people to leave those practices. So when they become Christian, they feel like now they are following Western culture, and they persecute them as well.
Okay, praise God. Yeah. This is a powerful, powerful ministry. As you heard, they minister to Muslims and they convert to Christianity. Powerful seed to sow in. And we're very grateful to be a part of this ministry. I brought the non-Americans. Speak about the non-Americans, if you will.
Non-Americans?
The non-Americans I brought.
Oh, the ninth Americans. Hey, amazing. I send out my love to all of them. I cannot remember their names, but a few names I can remember, like Dave, like, where after this name is gone. The other one who gave me the cap with the cross.
Okay.
It's just amazing to have them. It was a wonderful moment. We visited some villages, some communities, and also we had Jesus Film Show in one of the communities together. Even someone surrendered her life there. It's just amazing. And we are looking forward to receive more of you coming.
Now, Sam, you said, what about someone life they changed, they did what?
Yes, the
when we showed the Jesus
yes,
film.
The Jesus film show that we did with the 9 Americans during that time.
Right.
In one of the villages nearby.
Yes.
An elderly person, a woman, gave her life to Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of results of the ministry that we're doing here.
Yeah.
I thank God for it. We want to continue to pray for them. We want to continue to sow seed into their ministry. It's a powerful example of what we can do together.
Definitely. I would say the work is the Lord's. Amen. And we are all opportune to serve in our own little way. We are operating, we call it 360-degree ministry. Here we have Safe House, defending persecuted believers from police stations to courtrooms. We do all that. And the hospitals, and then we also have health. We are running a small pharmacy here, and now we are building a health center. And then we are looking at people who are also poor to support them with even school fees and scholarships. And we are doing a lot of things. And then agriculture. So in any way that you can partner with us through prayer, in whichever way,
yes.
The Lord will be honored, and we'll appreciate that.
You see, I'm not here to try to reinvent the wheel. I want to align myself with people and sow seeds into ministries that know the environment, that know the people, know how to speak to Muslims about Jesus Christ. It was very important, very powerful ministry, and I thank God for it. God bless.
Bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
What's the price of a soul? Hallelujah. Next. Now, this is the church. This is the church. This is the church that we built in the name of Jesus. This is the church you built in the Gambia called Full Gospel. Full Gospel Family Church.
We had the outreach last night. This is the Sunday service. Some of the new people, as a result of the outreach, praise God.
Church meets every Sunday, and people are being saved here, coming to Christ.
Okay. My name is Isaac Diallo. I'm from a Muslim background, and I now became a Christian, a Christ follower. And I decided to take care of children, orphans, and disabled in my own home. I'm doing it all by faith, just like how Christ have followers. And I also want to participate in the world in order to use my strength on the children, and also try to help the disabled. For at least what I understand in Christ's kingdom, that everybody matters to God. Even the disabled, they also have souls. They are part of God. They are part of the kingdom.
Amen.
I decide to help them.
Amen.
Yes, I want to take this opportunity also to thank the missionaries and all who dip their hands and heart to give out these materials and this support. They're from Pastor Charles. He gave me food. He gave me also support in cash power. cars for my show and clean the children and also clothes for them to wear and also lead them to the house of the Lord.
Praise God. Powerful ministry here. Powerful ministry. What she does is she takes children in whose parents cannot support them anymore. She takes them in and raises them as Christians, hallelujah, from Muslim families. Very powerful ministry. Also, we have a radio ministry there that reaches thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that comes on in the Gambia. What is it? Every Monday, I think it is. Every Monday. Now, years ago, Pastor Rick and I, the Holy Spirit spoke to both of us about asking the church to give into this ministry on a monthly basis. Now, many of you have, but I want to encourage the ones that have not, and maybe new members that have joined the church, to consider giving and pray about giving to this ministry on a monthly basis. Now, I'll be going back, and one of the powerful platforms that we have here is the member communications platform on Facebook. I want to encourage you to visit that platform from time to time. I will be giving out updates on what we're doing in the Gambia on a monthly basis. Now, I will be going to the Gambia on October the 28th. October the 28th. Now, listen to me. Of all the things that I've said, if you forget everything, please remember to pray for Brother Charles. Brother Charles, don't forget Brother Charles. Brother Charles is surrounded by many demonic spirits, and I need your prayers. God bless you, and thank you for listening.